heard news and issues from a superior.
Please join me in welcoming the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
President Biden returns to Superior. We'll have highlights and a conversation with an administration official. Plus, it may be warming up, but the Ice Festival is still on.
The majority of the festivities take place on Barker's Island, you know, starting tonight and through the day tomorrow, Saturday.
We'll bring you the highlights. And a blues band from Minnesota plays the lute.
Girl, your love's a treat. You're my Palisade Peach.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. 2 years ago, President Joe Biden visited Superior the day after his 2022 State of the Union address. He's obviously impressed with the area because this week he came back, fresh off of the announcement that the administration is footing $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge. My WPR colleague Danielle Kading has the details of his visit, followed by an excerpt of his remarks. Biden was introduced by Tim Nelson of Earthrider Brewery, which played host to the presidential visit. Here's Danny's report.
Biden visited Earthrider Brewery in Superior near the base of the Blatnik Bridge. The president says the aging bridge will receive roughly $1 billion under the bipartisan infrastructure law for its replacement.
For decades, people talked about replacing this bridge, but it never got done until today.
Biden says the project will create 10,000 construction jobs. The visit comes as the most recent Marquette Law School poll showed the president's job approval rating was at 40% in November. In that poll, Biden also trailed former President Donald Trump among registered voters. During a media briefing before the visit, Wisconsin GOP Chair Brian Schimming called the president's visit a rescue mission, saying Biden is headed for a tight rematch against Trump this November. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hello, Wisconsin. Yeah. And from across the bay, hello, Minnesota. Yeah. Tim, thank you for the introduction. I got to meet his twins and his wife, and no wonder he's here. I tell you what, they're going to keep him here. Look, I'm honored to be with the two best governors in America, in the United States of America today. Governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Tony, stand up. And also the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. And thanks to the outstanding senators, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Tammy DeLong, and Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith from the state of Minnesota. If I have all three of them on my side, I don't worry about anything. And two great mayors, Mayor Payne of Superior, Wisconsin, and Mayor Reinhardt of Duluth, Minnesota. Stand up, guys. Folks, I'm here today to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention. The progress we're making to invest in America and American workers and American products. To invest in America, that's what we're doing. Bringing work, opportunity, and hope to the people and communities all across this country. Just last week, we saw the biggest jump in 30 years in how positive consumers are feeling about the economy. Things are finally beginning to sink in. We passed a lot of really good legislation. We knew it was going to take time for it to begin to take hold, but it's taken hold now and turning the economy around. We also just learned that America filed 16 million new business applications since I became president. That's a record. That's a record. And just today, we learned the economy of the United States grew by 3.1% last year. I don't want to bore you with all the detail, but, you know, the experts from the time I got elected were insisting that a recession was just around the corner. Every month, there was going to be a recession. Well, you know, we've got really strong growth. Listen to this. Here's this morning's headlines from the Wall Street Journal and other papers. Quote, U.S. shatters expectations. Second headline, the U.S. economy boomed in 2023, Third, U.S. economy grew at a shocking pace. I love that shocking pace piece. But my favorite is from the Wall Street Journal. Quote, what recession? Growth ended accelerating in 2023. Folks, look, our infrastructure used to be the best in the world, rated the best in the world. But over a period of time, we stopped investing in America. We stopped it. We stopped investing in ourselves. And we slipped. We're now ranked the 13th best infrastructure in the world. The United States of America, number 13 in the world. How in God's name can we have the strongest economy in the world if we don't have the strongest and best infrastructure in the world? It's not possible. So we're determined to turn that around. We were determined to turn that around in a big way. And that's exactly and that's actually what we're doing. 2 years ago, I came to Wisconsin, this is almost this very spot, to talk about the historic bipartisan infrastructure law that I signed with the support of your elected officials. The most sweeping investment to rebuild America in American history. We've already invested $6.1 billion in Wisconsin so far, $5.7 billion in Minnesota. 2 years later, I came back to the Black Creek Bridge. I was here 2 years ago. The last time I was here, I came with Tammy, and we're now back this time because we knew this bridge needed a lot of work. Tammy didn't let me forget that either. You know, that bridge opened in 1961, and it connects Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know better than anyone in the world, and over the Lewis Bay. It's a vital link of our nation's economy. Every year, 950,000 trucks use the bridge to carry 3.4 billion tons of goods all the way across America and into Canada. Folks, every day, 33,000 vehicles cross that bridge. The flow of people is so critical to small businesses that rely on it to get customers, employers, goods through their businesses. It's critical. And local businesses like this brewery at the base of the bridge. Think what Tim just told us. Tim's family's been here for four generations. His great-grandparents moved here from Scandinavia to build a bakery just four blocks from here. And as Tim just said, the bridge is critical to his business, his workers, his customers, to the entire local economy. And it's like that in other parts of the country as well. This bridge is also critical to the largest port on the Great Lakes, serving critical industries like forestry, agriculture, clean energy, supporting so many communities. I mean, it really is consequential. But you also know this bridge is in badly corroded condition. It's unsafe for trucks to carry oversized, overweight loads, causing drivers lengthy detours, increasing costs and delays. It's outdated in design. Tight curves have led to higher than average car accident rates, traffic congestion. For decades, people talked about replacing this bridge, but it never got done. Until today. Until today. I mean, I'm proud to announce $1 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law will be used to build this new bridge. A new bridge that will increase capacity for large trucks and oversized loads. A new bridge with a modern design, wider shoulders, smoother on and off ramp. A new bridge with a shared path for pedestrians and cyclists. And I don't want to credit your governors, and I mean it sincerely, and your state legislators for coming up with the matching money to invest in this bridge. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten done with your own funding. This investment is going to make a huge difference. Less traffic, fewer car accidents, faster commutes to your jobs and schools, quicker response times from fire trucks and first responders when every minute counts. Goods are going to get shipped quicker, and commerce will flow more freely instead of having to detour for up to 10 miles. Here's what else it means. It means that 10,000 new construction jobs, union jobs, are going to be created. We're investing in America, in jobs for American workers, built with American products. And that's going to, with the help of your congressional delegation, especially Senator Tammy Baldwin, we're making sure that that iron, that steel, that construction material to build this bridge is made in America. Yeah. This funding is part of a larger $5 billion investment led by the Department of Transportation for 37 major projects across America, including bridges, highways, ports, airports. To date, 40,000 infrastructure problems have been, projects have been announced all across America. And with the support of these great governors and congressional delegation, we're doing other big things. For example, we're making sure every American, including all of you here, have access to affordable high-speed internet. Yeah. I want to thank Amy for her leadership in this issue. She's been relentless. High-speed internet is essential to today's economy. It's as essential as electricity was when Franklin Roosevelt was president. Not a joke. That's why nearly a century ago, Franklin Roosevelt signed the Rural Electrification Act. I know this sounds like it doesn't matter, but it matters a great deal. He signed it to bring electricity to nearly every home and farm in America because it became essential, an essential part of the economic growth of the country, an essential way to access to modern life. And so is high-speed internet today. In Wisconsin and Minnesota, we're investing $2.5 billion in high-speed internet. And we're going to save more than 600,000 families in these two states up to $30 a month in internet bills. The household I came from, that matters. Those $30 end of the month bills will add up when you're living on a fixed salary. We're also investing $1.1 billion in your state to provide clean water and replace poisonous lead pipes. Every lead pipe's going to be taken out.
That was President Joe Biden on Thursday speaking at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior for his second visit to the city in as many years. One of Biden's point people on the bridge is Tom Perez, a senior advisor and assistant to the president and director of the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. He didn't make the trip yesterday, but spoke with me from Washington. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Tom Perez.
It's great to be with you and all your listeners in and around Superior.
So we love our bridge. We love our bridges, in fact, but we know they're not as well known as the Brooklyn Bridge or Golden Gate. When did you personally hear of the Blatnik Bridge?
And I personally heard of the Blatnik Bridge probably 40 years ago because my wife is from Wisconsin. We spend a lot of time in northern Wisconsin. We've also spent a lot of time up in the Boundary Waters. And we often stay in Duluth or Superior. So we're crossing the Blatnik Bridge with regularity. This announcement from the president about the infrastructure investment to replace the bridge is a real game changer. You know, there's going to be a hiker-biker pathway, too, to make it more pedestrian-friendly. I think that's really, really important.
Right. Superior Mayor Tom Paine has made a big push for that part.
I think that's huge. I mean, I've worked on infrastructure projects across the country, and we want to make things as livable as possible. The thing that I remember most about my visit to Superior is people love to spend time outdoors, you know, frankly, in the summer and the winter. Because you're hardy up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hiker-biker trails are indispensable to connecting those two remarkable cities, Superior and Duluth.
So because you do know this, this was meant to be a trick question, by the way. I thought you're some guy from Washington. You were the head of the party. You were Secretary of Labor. What do you know about our Blatnik Bridge? But you do. And so that means you also know about the Bong, the Oliver Bridge, probably, and certainly the Lift Bridge. But in all seriousness, not to argue against this wonderful gift horse here, the Bong is there. Do we really need? And by the way, I've ridden my bicycle across the Bong, so you can do that. You know, is the Blatnik as key as all this? Is it really?
Well, I think the Blatnik Bridge is really important because you know, there's truck drivers right now whose loads are too heavy for the current bridge. And we should back up. The Blatnik Bridge is 63 years old. If this were a person, it'd be almost Medicare and Social Security eligible.
You're talking about my generation, but go ahead. Yes.
So the first issue is safety. You know, it's 63 years old. It's time for a new bridge.
All right. We've been speaking with Tom Perez, senior advisor and assistant to the president and director of the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. Thank you for joining us, Tom Perez.
Have a good day.
Coming up, his roots are solidly Minnesotan, but he's all about the blues.
Let it rain. Come on in my kitchen, 'cause it's gonna be raining outdoors.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We feature all kinds of music on the show, from classical to hip-hop, and even some combinations of those forms. A lot of it falls under the banner of Americana, but when singer-songwriter Mark Joseph gets a hold of it, you can just call it American Soul, which is the title of his 2017 album. He's about to release his fourth album, Palisade Peach, and you're invited because it'll be right here at the West Theater in Duluth on February 1st, with local favorites New Salty Dog opening. And he joins me now. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Mark Joseph.
Hello, Robin. How you doing?
We're doing great here. So the description I just gave talked about Americana and soul, but am I correct you're actually reaching back to blues? And by that, I mean early 20th century blues. You've got an homage to Robert Johnson in there, as well as Bessie Smith.
That's right. Yeah, we're on the Palisade Peach. We're heading back to my blues roots and, yes, touching on some Robert Johnson, some modern blues feels, and all the above.
So what are your roots and from where?
Well, I grew up in Northfield, Minnesota, and I grew up singing in church and showing horses with my mother. So there's a lot of country music in my background. But I saw B.B. King when I was 10 years old and just acquired my first guitar. So it was really like being struck by lightning. I was changed forever that day, and I've been chasing after a career in music and the blues ever since.
Where did you see B.B. King?
We saw B.B. King at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. In the 80s, early 90s, he was doing these blues festival tours where he would have a full day's worth of blues music, and then he would go on last, of course. And so that day I got to see King and his full orchestra, Jimmy Vaughn, Ed James, G. Smith, Jay Dyle's band, Elvin Bishop. I mean, it was mind blowing.
That guitar you got, did you name it Lucille II or or anything? And do you still have it?
Yeah, I sure do. That guitar was given to me by my grandmother in 1999. And so I named it after her, but also after my grandfather's World War II B-25 bomber. It was called Glory Ann is the name. So it's the name of my grandmother and my aunt, Deanne, who was his firstborn.
All right. Well, tell Glory Ann we said hi. See, I knew you had have a name.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, given all that, what makes your music Americana, or do we want to throw out that label at all? We've had many discussions on the show of that Americana could be anything, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's all in there somewhere, isn't it? I mean, I play country music, I play blues, I play rock and roll. I'm into everything, you know? So yeah, Americana, I think, probably falls in there at some point, you know? I'm okay. I'm comfortable with it, you know? Yeah, it's cool with me.
All right, but this is basically a blues album, correct?
Yes, this is a blues album, yes. And it's my second full-length what I would call blues album. I did one in 2019 called The Musician and the Muse with the same producer, Steve McCormick. And I just felt like making a blues record again. I had an opportunity to work with some pretty amazing people, so I decided to go that direction. The whole record is curated in a sense by my buddy Stanley Behrens, who is a legend in the blues world. He spent many years with Willie Dixon, Jimmy Smith, Ruth Brown. And yeah, we've struck out a great relationship, and I was really had the great honor of being able to do this whole record with him. So yeah, we decided to do a blues album.
All right. Well, let's hear something from it. How about one of the, you can't get more classic than Backwater Blues. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Backwater Blues. What a timeless song. Bessie Smith, just such a fabulous piece of music, and we did our own take on it, which is kind of got a gospel soul feel with the backup vocalist just taking it, just taking us right to church on it.
Who's the vocalist?
The vocalists are it's led by Heather Donovan, who is based in Santa Monica, California. She arranged the parts and sang on it. And then we have what we call the Minnesota Choir, which is Alex Steele, Jill Michelson, and Steph Devine.
All right. Well, let's hear Backwater Blues, performed by Mark Joseph.
Five days. Rain. And the sky turned dark at night. 5 days. Rain. 5 days.
And that was Backwater Blues, performed by Mark Joseph. He'll be performing at the West Theater in Duluth on February 1st for the release of his new album, Palisade Peach, with local favorites New Salty Dog opening. I'm going to go somewhere a lot of people avoid on the blues conversation, which is race and blues,
sure.
Which indeed was once called race music. Do you have to be black to sing the blues, and or at least from the South? Northfield, Minnesota is south of the Twin Cities anyway.
Right. My answer to that would be no, but you should know your history and you should know your roots and you should pay respect to them and homage to those roots. You know, blues is black music. It came from the South and it ultimately from Africa originally, but that's a whole nother, you know, conversation. You know, American music has been forever influenced by New Orleans, Cajun, and African music, where the blues and jazz were all created in New Orleans, essentially, and in the Deep South, Mobile, Alabama, places like St. Augustine, Florida. These are all places where American music, as we know them today, were created. Even bluegrass came out of the Deep South and has roots in African culture and music. So I think that music brings us together as people. I think that it tells a story. It's our tradition. It's in our DNA. And I think that one of the beautiful things about music is that it can bring people together and show us how similar we are versus our differences. And I just, it's a great honor to play the blues. And I carry it with me. It's part of who I am. I've been touched forever by my lineage in the blues, and even my choice to make music my career has been influenced directly by the blues.
Mm-hmm. What do you think did attract you to it at the B.B. King concert? Again, you're not African-American and you're from Northfield, so...
It's absolutely raw, unfiltered soul and power in the blues. There's no filter. It's straight from the heart. There's nothing in between you and the singer and the song. It's as real can be. I'm a nonfiction person. I like history, student of history. So for me, the music is so intense. It's so real. And there's something so strong and powerful about a man or woman in their story and a guitar, right? Mm-hmm. Or a piano, whatever the instrument is, the blues can be played on many different formats. But that's really, it just spoke to me, you know, and I feel the gospel in it. I feel, you know, the presence of God in the blues. I can feel pain and stories being told. I hear the message coming through loud and clear. It just gripped me like nothing ever has.
Right. And as you said, nonfiction, we love story songs, but blues is basically a documentary. It's telling you when Bessie Smith is talking about Backwater Blues, it isn't a nice homage to, you know, what a beautiful view of the bay. It's talking about the water. It's just flooded them out.
Yep.
I'm saying it laughing only because the irony of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
How about an original composition from your album?
Oh, yes. About half the record is pieces that I wrote. Let's do Palisade Peach, the title track. It'd be great.
All right. You want to tell us about that? Set it up for us?
Yeah. It's kind of a R&B soul blues ride. It's real fun. And it's got a bounce. Jerry Jamont, the legendary bass player, made such a great bass line on it. And it's just got a lot of energy and a lot of fun funk to it. So, yeah, enjoy.
All right. And here is Palisade Peach by Mark Joseph.
I don't mind that.
was Palisade Peach, an original blues composition by Mark Joseph. He'll be performing at the West Theater in Duluth on February 1st for the release of his album by the same name, with local favorites New Salty Dog opening. You want to tell us a little bit more about the album?
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure to make. We recorded it in early 2023 in Los Angeles, and just had the great privilege to work with some legendary musicians on it. Tony Austin from Kamasi Washington's band, Jerry Jamott, Albert Lee, the legendary Albert Lee is on this track Daisy Train. Melvin Seals from the Jerry Garcia band is featured on one of the songs. And it just goes on and on. It's really an amazing ride, and I hope you enjoy it. It's kind of a trip through all kinds of different styles of blues, And
you're again having the album release party right here. How did you decide on Duluth Superior for something that you went out to LA and produced?
Well, it's part of the Palisade Peach World Tour. We're bringing it all over the world. So naturally, I have to come back to Duluth and bring it to you guys. I've been playing Duluth Superior for 20 years now. Just always enjoy my time on the big lake, you know.
All right. Well, let's hear one more to take us out. Let's go back to another standard. Come Into My Kitchen by Robert Johnson.
Yeah, Come On My Kitchen. It might be the greatest blues song ever written. It's certainly up there in my humble opinion. Yeah, we decided to do a version of it. It's kind of the what I would call like the acoustic front porch blues song of our record. So it's got a little more of a acoustic upright bass laid back feel to it, but some beautiful harmony arrangements, and just love the song and was excited to share it with you guys.
All right, we've been speaking with Mark Joseph. He'll be releasing his fourth album Palisade Peach at the West Theater in Duluth on February 1st, in a concert also featuring our local New Salty Dog. Thank you for joining us, Mark.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. Long live public radio.
You better come on in my kitchen, 'cause it's gonna be raining outdoors. The woman I love took for my best friend. Some joker got lucky, stole her back again. You better come on in my kitchen, 'cause it's gonna be raining.
Coming up, it may be a little above freezing, but the ice festival goes on. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. The weather has been iffy this winter, with record highs on Christmas, an Arctic blast last week, and not much snow to speak of. But that hasn't stopped the Lake Superior Ice Festival. It begins today, Friday, at Barker's Island in Superior, and continues tomorrow. Here to guide us through is Linda Cadott, the Parks, Rec, and Forestry Director for the City of Superior. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Linda.
So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, not as excited as you are going to the actual festival, right?
Yes, there's so many great things happening this year, despite the weather. I mean, my goodness, the partners and the city crews have really just stepped it up to make sure that there's still something for everybody.
Right. We're going to talk about that, the weather challenges, in a minute. But I also want to point out this comes after President Biden's visit to Superior. So the ice festival is a real reason for his trip, right?
We'd love to think so.
So if you're not the president, or even if you are, what's on the agenda? First of all, where and when?
So the majority of the festivities take place on Barker's Island, you know, starting tonight and through the day tomorrow, Saturday. We also have, you know, a handful of business-sponsored carvings all around town, which you can see that full map and those details for those locations on the website. And there's also some business specials around town as well. So other than that, everything else is taking place at Barker's Island.
Mm-hmm. The ice sculptures, we actually have a bit of the sounds of them being carved a couple of years back at the festival by Crystal Clear, the company responsible for many of them. Sort of sounds like what you'd expect. So tell us about the sculptures around town and the challenges of the weather, because boy, in the past we've had times that you could keep the ice sculptures out there for like 6 months or so, but maybe not this year.
You know, we always encourage people to get out and see those carvings as soon as possible to when they put them out, because ultimately where they sit against the building, if they're south facing, north facing, all of that plays into it. You know, a nice cloudy day and a few cloudier days, the temperatures don't matter as much, but as soon as you get that sunshine hitting them, you know, the crystallization, the crackling, and rapid melting does occur. But so fortunate to have the businesses step up and, you know, participate in this. And so we really encourage you to take place in that and the trivia competition that is associated with those carvings at the businesses.
And how does that work?
So there is a question attached to each of the bases that the carvings are displayed on. And that question can only be seen at that location. And the answer to the question is something that the business, it would be business specific. So then you have an opportunity to get your name and information entered in per each correct trivia answer, and in a drawing to win some cool prizes.
Mm-hmm. And all this information, you can repeat it a couple times, but is available on your website, and there's also a brochure. Tell us the website.
Yeah, LakeSuperiorIceFestival.com, and on Facebook, Lake Superior Ice Festival Facebook, as well.
And I should point out the most important thing. It's all free or nearly free, correct?
Yeah, no, there's only a cost of certain aspects of the festival. So we have more food trucks than ever before this year. So obviously, if you're going to partake in eating from some of the vendors, you will need to pay accordingly. There's a couple different tournaments taking place. So if you're going to register for one of those tournaments, there is a fee associated with that. There's an exquisite vendor fair down at Barker's Island Inn with various craft and vendors. So if you're looking to purchase some things, again, depending on what you're looking to buy. And then Midwest Ice Racing Association is doing their races out at Alois Bay this year because the ice around the island just wasn't quite what they needed. But in order to get up close and personal and watch those racing, they also have a fee for that. But everything else, you know, to check out the Superior Snow Slide, the Kids Zone that the YMCA is putting on at the Estuarium right in Festival Park, checking out Coob. There's mini golf that's set up. Captain Jay's was kind enough to let us use their course, but Kemper Sports from Nemadji is going to put together that course, a 9-hole mini golf course right in on Captain Jay's there. There's no fee for that. There's photo opportunities with the princesses and different characters at the Fairlawn Mansion and a free tour of that main level. So again, great opportunity to go get a nice photo op and also then check out the museum for no cost, or at least the main level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pause there because otherwise I'm just going to keep running through everything.
All right. Well,
I can just keep running through things.
No, running through all this is Linda Kadat. She's the Parks and Rec and Forestry Director for the City of Superior. We're talking about the Lake Superior Ice Festival, which begins today on Barker's Island, today Friday, and continues tomorrow on Saturday. And so you mentioned a couple of things in there that, again, are weather dependent. So we've been talking about this. You know, we always say inclement weather, usually meaning, well, cold, but actually inclement means not climate, right? Or whatever. I think it's, it's inclemently warm. So you mentioned the sledding hill. Do we have enough snow to make that big mound to take our sleds down?
We might have it see a little different shape this year, but yes, the crews for the city have been diligently working on bringing us that sledding hill again.
That takes a special talent. And then you mentioned the ice racing of the various vehicles. Last week we had Rusty Melberg, meteorologist from Fox 21 on, and I think he said, don't hold me to this, you should have a foot of ice before you take vehicles out there. I'll think 2 feet is, thank you, what I might want to prefer. So does the Bay have just enough ice, or do we know?
Yeah, so Midwest Ice Racing Association is ATVs, dirt bikes. So, you know, the stock car races will not be taking place this year.
This may be one of the warmer ice festivals, yes?
I think one of the first festivals, it got close to a little bit warmer than this. Hmm. And the thing that was different about that ice festival is it was cool all week. So, you know, we have, you know, 30s almost all week. So that's concerning because we'll have to check ice thicknesses and make sure we're still good to go, where, you know, that year it was cold and then we had a nice little warm up that day and it was cold again after. So,
right.
You know, it's the one thing we can't control is the weather. So that's why we make our plan B and C and D and E, and, you know, just have enough activities that all of it comes together.
Tell us again about the participatory sports rather than the ones you watch. KOOB, once again, explain what KOOB is.
Yeah, so KOOB is a tournament, a yard game, I guess you'll call it, that's played with different size sticks, essentially. And then there's also a cornhole tournament this year.
Wait, slow down. What?
A cornhole tournament, like bag toss, where you've got the bags that go into the holes of the platforms, bean bag toss. And then there is new this year, the Western Lake Superior Trolling Association is drilling in a few holes around the island to kind of show people how to ice fish if they haven't experienced it before. And the first 75 kids that participate in that will get a fishing pole.
Mm. What are your favorite activities?
Oh my goodness. You know, there's way too many activities that take place for me to have favorites. But for me, the best part of the festival is just having everybody come out and seeing folks from in town and who travel here for this festival to just see everyone enjoying themselves with all the different events and seeing all of the pieces come together and really like all of the months of work time and effort that folks have put into this. You know, it's not possible without all of our different partners and organizations and businesses that come to bring this event to our city. And so really that's my favorite part, is being able to kind of see it all come together.
Mm-hmm. And it is a big event for anyone who hasn't been there. Any hints on where to park or what times to show up?
Yeah, so there's some shuttles. There's hay bale shuttles around the island, as well as the DTA trolley around the island. So, you know, there's parking up by the Bong Museum. There's parking on the hill, the grassy area before you get onto Barker's Island. And then there's the Barker's Island Inn parking lot, as well as the boat launch parking lot actually on the island. You know, if folks are going to the Fairlawn for the Humane Society of Douglas County naming of the animal royalty for the event, they could park up there and walk across the highway, or if they're going there to get pictures with the characters. So really, you know, we encourage carpooling to get to the island, and then once you're there, the shuttles will be able to help navigate you around the island.
Right, and I would encourage carpooling too, since I've been stuck in that traffic. So this is a big event for anyone who hasn't.
Yeah.
Think you know, another Bentleyville going on here. So wait a minute. Tell us about the animal royalty. I like the way you just trippingly off the tongue mentioned yet another thing.
So the Humane Society of Douglas County does a naming rights basically for the a pet contest. And so they will announce who the royalty of the canine king and queen for the event. And then I think this year new is they have an other category too. So, you know, whether you put your hamster or your ferret or horse in it, there's another category for the royalty. So it's a nice little fun fundraiser for them and also to build some enthusiasm around the event as well.
All right. And is there a grand finale to the entire festival?
Well, I would say the festival usually wraps up with the fireworks on Saturday night. This year we do have the Spin Collective, which is a group of adult fire twirlers giving a show right before the fireworks. So that'll be right at about 6 o'clock, and then fireworks begin the launch at 6:30. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks, because of, you know, ice conditions, they'll be launched off of the fishing pier down on Barker's Island. But still, folks can kind of probably go to quite a few different areas to get a good view. If you want the music to be choreographed with the fireworks, the best place for that would be to go down by the Barker's Island beach and view from there.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the Lake Superior Ice Festival, which is today, Friday, January 26th, and tomorrow, January 27th, at Barker's Island in Superior. And you said President Biden would be sticking around an extra day for the festival, right?
Gosh, I sure hope so. You know, I think the fire department, police department chiefs would love for him to be there for this head-to-head dad joke competition tonight.
Okay, you got to tell us about that one.
Well, everybody kind of knows what a dad joke is, but the two chiefs will be going head-to-head.
All right, and maybe a third commander-in-chief. We've been speaking with Linda Cadott, Director of Parks and Rec and Forestry for the City of Superior. Thank you for joining us, Linda.
Well, thanks so much for having me. And we look forward to seeing everyone down at Barker's Island and around town taking part in all the festivities for the Ice Festival.
And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Mark Joseph. I'm Robin Washington. Enjoy the Ice Festival and stay safe, everyone. That'll-